Blog Talk Radio.
So not ready this morning.
I know. And like, girl, I was up early and then I like went back to bed. I was like, screw this. And
I
got back up and then I was like, I'm gonna go do other stuff. I'll be back. I posted news. Oh, hey,
oh man, I was not ready just then.
Me either, but we are ready now, so we are here. Good morning, Joe! Good morning.
Oh, right.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, because, well, I got something ready, but I'm not ready to read it. I'm kind of, I'll tell you about this later.
All right. Well, Team Lakowicz, if you remember that, we were Team Lakowicz.
Team Lakowicz!
We won! Yeah! Accused of playing WoW, Colleen Lakowicz wins Senate seat anyway.
Woo!
Woohoo! Hot. Hot. All right, so...
Terry Bond.
Here. And someone who likes to use slightly colorful language to talk about it on her blog, Colleen Lakowicz, Democrat from... What is it, ME? Anyways, still handedly trounced Republican Senate Thomas Martin, earning her a shiny new Senate seat. It is Maine. Hey, look at that. I had it right. Last month, the Maine GOP ran a pretty silly smear campaign to attempt to convince voters that Lakowicz's gaming habits and blog comments rendered her unfit for office. We think anyone making comments about drowning a Grover Norquist and stabbing things shows a shocking level of immaturity and poor judgment that voters should know about. This is coming from David Zrinson, the GOP party spokesman. Certainly the fact that she spends so much time on a video game says something about her work ethic and, again, her immaturity. Responding to the attack, Team Lakowicz, who is awesome, says, I regret that some things I said before I knew I was running for office could be misconstrued and offended some people. She went on to explain that most of her comments were taken out of context and several years old. Indeed, the drowning Grover Norquist comment was taken from a 7-year-old post about tax policy. At the end of the day, voters didn't seem to mind that Lakowicz plays games, just like 183 other million Americans.
You know what her gaming habits tell me about her? Is that she will be able to keep her city intact during a zombie apocalypse. What's wrong with you people?
Exactly. Honestly, I mean, for any of you who have ever led a raid, a guild, whatever it is you want to call them in your games, that takes some serious
planning.
Yeah, serious planning.
Talking about 5 or 6 people. If you're in one of the newer MMOs, you got upwards of 1,600, 200,
yeah.
300 people.
You have the gumption to take the lead.
Yeah.
You have to know how to take the lead. You have to know what you're doing to keep these people together, to keep them following you. So, yeah, I think she's perfect for office.
She did.
At least she can walk the walk and not just talk. Ha.
That's right. We can actually trace her, her skills by looking at gaming. How many successful guild raids has she led? You may not think that's, you know what it is? They're not gamers. You all are so out of touch with the people.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, seriously, if I had like a list of who was a gamer and who was not, I want to know their gaming experience. I don't want to be just like Farmville. But no offense, Farmvillers. But if you you're running for office and you play some heavy MMO or FPS, whatnot, where you are the leader of your guild, your clan, whatever it is, that's going to make me think a little more highly about you. Especially if it's a successful guild or clan.
It's, I think in coming years, you're probably going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah.
I mean, a whole lot more of that. You'll see a lot more people that are putting the fact that they game in their profile or what gadgets they like, because this is a generation that's coming up. This is what is important to them. I need to know that you're not going to take away one of my most favorite pastimes, my favorite form of entertainment. So, obviously, that's going to, for me at least, sway me towards your vote. And why I ended up going ahead and voting for Hillary Clinton the first time when Obama ran, I voted for her after we got her off of the game kick. You know, that was important to me. We've told y'all this before. We're one of the ones who led the charge to say, Hillary, if you do this, if you and this Jack Thompson guy go after our games, we're coming after you. We're not going to vote for you. So drop it. And she listened. She dropped it the next week, parted ways with Jack Thompson. So that said a lot to me that, she's listening. Two, she understands this is important. Three, don't F with my games. No. So that's what I want. I want to know.
Don't F with my game.
I want to know if you spend most of your time on your BlackBerry or your Android. Not while there's a war going on, of course. I don't want to turn on the TV and see you texting instead of paying attention. But to know that you're able to be in touch with us. If there was a war going on and some communications went down, I want a president who can tweet and is like, I don't know how to use Twitter. No. You need to maintain contact. These are important things just in now. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, man. Juicy stuff going on. All right. Well.
What happened was.
I don't even know where to begin because I saw some stuff last night that we didn't even get to cover because, we got into our usual argument and blasted your eye towards
the end. That was a good show.
If you missed it, go listen. It's available for download for your iTunes, your iPod, whatever it is you like to listen to. We got a format for you. You just want to download it to your computer and listen to it on your Windows player or your Windows 8, because that was about, ironically.
Yeah.
So, you can do that. Okay, so I guess I will start here because I thought this was, when I saw this last night, I thought this was kind of stupid. Okay, so you're familiar with BioWare Mythic, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've gone through 3 incarnations of name changes, only to arrive at changing it back to its original name.
What?
BioWare Mythic, which was formerly EA Mythic, formerly Mythic, is reclaiming their identity by changing their name back to Mythic. The decision was announced on the Warhammer Online website. I thought Warhammer Online was closed. Is it still open? Okay, so the new name is significant of a new focus.
I'm over here muted. Warhammer Online closed like last year sometime.
Well, apparently not, because this decision was announced on the Warhammer Online website. The new name is significant of a new focus at the studio. There are no clues as to what that was.
They can do it, Stargate Resistance. You can do it too.
They said everything else is going to stay the same. They said on their website, they said our passionate teams will continue to support and develop our existing titles, as well as working on some of the new and exciting projects. The company, of course, was known as Mythic Entertainment from 1997 until 2006, when it was renamed EA Mythic after being bought out by EA. The name was changed back to Mythic Entertainment in 2008, before EA changed it to BioWare Mythic in 2009, in an attempt to leverage the popularity of the BioWare brand. Mythic is currently working on Warhammer Online, Wrath of Heroes, and Ultima Forever Quest for Avatar. So, Ginger, no, it is not gone. Warhammer Online is still around. Oh, I'm at their website. Look at that. ageofreckoning.warhammeronline.com. They are still around.
Age of Reckoning?
Yeah. Warhammer Online. It's ageofreckoning.warhammeronline.com. They're still hanging around there. I think that was one of the biggest horrible things that EA did to them is to rename them EA Mythic. And I recall one of the developers I ran across in Second Life said the same thing. Yeah, because they became known for Dark Ages of Camelot, and
yes, oh my God, Dark Ages of Camelot, I love you so much. Oh, it was so good, and I just put the ends on my cheek. Anyways, after Trials of Atlantis, they sold out to EA, or they joined EA, whatever, and it became an EA game, and it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, but and Dark Age of Camelot is still around too. If you're,
it's still kicking.
It's still kicking. It's just not the same game as what we know. But I think that was a horrible, horrible thing they did to them. But ironically, the good thing that came out of it for them is when they made Warhammer Online, you've heard us say this, they borrowed a lot of elements from Warhammer Online from when they were playing in Second Life. There was quite a few devs that hung around Gorian Sims, and they very proudly had their name displayed in their profile, who they were. And I noticed when I first played Warhammer Online, there's a lot of elements from being in Gorian simulators in Second Life that came from there. And that's why we tell you people.
So they're no longer part of EA?
I don't.
They broke up?
Well, no, looks like they're still together. The name Origin is still on their website. So I'm thinking they just told EA, look, we need to take our name back because
you guys suck.
People are not putting together this brilliance with who they were. Keep in mind, Dark Ages of Camelot came out as Mythic, whereas Warhammer Online came out as EA Mythic, and a name can do a lot for you.
Because Warhammer Online was supposed to be like the revamp of Dark Ages of Camelot. When I was reading about it before it ever released, because there was another one, there was this that they worked on, Mythic, and then there was a other sci-fi weird one that they were working on.
I vaguely remember what you're saying.
It died out. And I was so looking forward to a revamped new Dark Age Camelot. The graphics were going to be comparable to something like WoW.
Warhammer was never that. Remember, Warhammer is a part of a group of comic books. Two completely different things.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is it's kind of like, yeah, well, true. But what I'm talking about, Warhammer Online, the graphics were going to be like WoW in as that they were cartoony.
Oh.
Dark Age of Camelot was not, really.
Man, they just should never have. Don't get rid of your name.
It renders easier. And
What, Dark Age of Camelot?
No, Warhammer Online does. And,
I didn't. It hated me.
but the deal was that it was supposed to be a revamped Dark Age of Camelot. It was supposed to have a quest system. It was supposed to have everything that Dark Age of Camelot did not when it came out. Except that they totally screwed up the PvP and the dungeons.
I never played the PvP. I did, you know how I am. I roamed.
The PvP was good, except
was
that you could not set your siege weapon wherever you wanted, which irritated me.
I was very confused walking around Warhammer Online all the time. I never knew what I was supposed to be doing because the pathing for the remember the pathing for the missions or whatever you want to call them. They had a sparkly trail you're supposed to follow, and sometimes
yeah.
It went through a mountain and you couldn't go through a mountain.
See, I never had that happen to me.
I had. What's going on? And it wasn't even in beta at that time when I got in. I was in during beta, and you know, I'm one of the ones that reported. I said my sparkly trail just went through a mountain, and I obviously cannot walk through the mountain. And but they never fixed that. By the time I was like, you know, I'm done with this. I can't get anywhere this way.
Now, I want to say by the time I got there, there wasn't a sparkly trail. What it was a green diamond sort of thing would pop up on your map, mm-hmm. And you knew you needed to get to there. So you'd look at the map, and you're like, all right, this road goes here. I have to go through here, around there, and ta-da, I'd be there.
It did not like me. They did not want to play right.
And the other half would go, and we would take over the other side's towns. Literally. We would kill all their NPCs. We would find a way to jump up on top of the buildings, and we'd kill anybody who came into the town.
Now, fighting NPCs was fun in there because they put up a fight.
They do! They do! Oh, my God.
It was not easy. Okay. We got to move it along because I got a ton of email here.
Okay, all right, it is my go. My go. I'm sorry, I got totally lost.
In the discussion, it's good discussion. Sometimes
no,
we discuss
right?
In the morning.
Warhammer. Girl, I may be installing that in a little bit. All right, so Wii U will have a day one system update.
Oh, well, you know what? At least they're telling you ahead of time. Thanks, Wii U.
Exactly. Looking forward to playing around with Wii U's online features. Well, you're going to have to perform a system update first. Really? Wii U, come on, a system update the first day, can't you release a... Anyway, I hate games that release with a first day update, and so to have a console that apparently is broken and needs a first day update.
I don't know
it's
broken.
It's from Nintendo.
I don't think it's broken. I think maybe they may... Here's what we have to look at it in a positive way. They maybe noticed something wasn't quite right, and they're telling you beforehand. Because imagine the backlash if you got it home and there was an issue, and they didn't tell you.
Yeah. According to IGN, online features and confirmed with Nintendo Direct, online features like Miiverse, Wii U Chat, Nintendo TV, and the system's eShop will be enabled with a day one system update. So far, they said they've not heard anything that indicates the update is needed to play games. All right, so it doesn't look like it's that bad of an issue, but still. I don't know. We'll see. Nintendo, don't let me down. We've been telling everybody how flippin' awesome you are.
Oh, my God. Well, my God wasn't like that either. I'm talking to your buddies over at City of Steam back and forth. That's why I'm all distracted. Okay.
They are hilarious, aren't they?
They be hilarious. I didn't realize they were in, where are they, Netherlands or somewhere?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they are trying real hard. They want us to come check it out. And we will, so we can share with you all out there. But it's hard to get the time.
Every time they see me in APB, they're like, are you really playing that game?
Yeah. But our time differences are so crazy. This is going to make it difficult for both of us. Wow. City of Steam, y'all need to come to the U.S. That's what y'all need to do. Come on over here. We miss you. Especially you. Yes, you. Out there. What's your name? Oh, who am I talking to? I don't know.
I'm lost.
Yeah, do try to keep up, people. Okay, so is it my turn?
Yes, it is your turn.
I'm not all there today. I'm really not.
That's fine. Are you lost in making pretty shoes?
I was, but no, okay, but that's not what I want to say about. Here's some juicy.
Okay.
Remember the computer we were telling everybody about, Raspberry Pi?
Yeah.
And it's only $35, and you have this awesome computer.
Uh-huh.
Well, somebody has managed to come along and do it even better than them and for cheaper, if you can believe it.
Oh, my God.
All right. I'm gonna ask you guys to please put your hands on top of the desk, and I want you to grip the desk because this is going to take everything you have to control yourself when you hear this, okay? Okay. Texas Instruments. Remember those people?
Yes, I do. I haven't heard that name in forever, though.
Yes, they used to make the speaking spells and the calculator.
Yeah.
Everything you had that was digital back in the day was all Texas Instruments. And they said, we were not – wait a minute. Let me do my favorite quote from the movie Wanted. This is not us. This is just the MF decoy is what they've been telling you. They put out the calculators and you thought it was all over. No. They have come out with a computer, or it's going to be coming out, called the Stellaris Launchpad. And just take a wild guess how much it's going to cost.
How much is it going to cost?
I'm not going to tell you until I tell you what it can do, because this is what's going to blow you away. Okay.
$1 million.
No. It comes, will come, with an ARM Cortex 64-pin 800 megahertz LMF4120H5QR. Some of you know what that is. Onboard USB ICD, that's in-circuit debug interface for your USB. A micro AB USB device port. A device ICDI power switch, two user push buttons, a reset button, three user LED, one tricolor device, 16 megahertz main oscillator crystal, 32 kilohertz real-time clock crystal, 3.3 volts regulator, support for multiple IDEs. Did you hear what I said, multiple IDEs?
That is hotness.
It is about the size of the palm of me and Ginger's hands, and if you've met us in person, you know we have very small hands. You know, a credit card can just barely fit in the palm of our hand, just barely. And it's also going to come with a USB cable. And again, how much? $13.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. If you do not believe me, you can pop over to the wiki that they have created. Texas Instruments Wiki.
$13.
$13 freaking. $13, people. You can have this. It's not super, super fast, but it can get the job done. Now, they have not. So far, I don't see an operating system. They are posting up some of the source code if you're one of those people who likes to see that. It has some. Real-time multitasking kernel, which if you're familiar with these terms, TCP/IP
mm-hmm.
stacks, it's a FAT file system, which is it's okay. Comes with the device drivers, supposed to leave you developers, supposed to help you focus on your actual application. So it might be multiple operating systems. You might be able to put anything on it.
Wow.
I'm not sure. But you can go check it out again. It's processors.wiki.ti.com if you want to go see what they are working on. But for $13, I would buy a whole gang of these for Baby Nature's School and just donate them and just be like, what? tell the other schools, what? Our kids got this, what? This is...
Yes, it is.
Amazing. There's also some YouTube video floating around if you want to see it. Again, it is very, very tiny. Extremely tiny.
What'd you say?
You want me to tweet it? Is that what you said?
Oh, yes. I want you to tweet it. Tweet it hard.
I will tweet it for you all out there. So if you're listening live, you'll get the tweet. If you're not listening live, you'll have to go search through our tweets to get it. But the rest of you can watch. Oh, you can't see the actual computer, just the innards. But, again, those of you who build computers will know exactly what you're looking at and be like, wow, that right there is that.
Awesome. Okay. Green Man Gaming offering 35% off Borderlands 2 declares war on free hats. Okay. Games retailer offers unbeatable real cash savings on some of the hottest games of the year. While other stores are content with offering free hats, a different colored shirt as a reward for buying a new title, Green Man Gaming is continuing to offer real savings on high quality games. I wonder who they're trying to call out there. Anyways, starting this weekend and running for 1 week, we're offering a 35% discount on some of the biggest hits of the last 2 months. The amazing turn-based strategy game XCOM Enemy Unknown, everyone's favorite loot-em-up Borderlands 2, and medieval decapitation simulator Chivalry. The voucher will be live from 1 p.m. UTC Saturday using this code at the checkout. Are you ready for the code? Do you have a pen? Pen and a paper. Are you ready? I'm going to give it to you. G as in Guy, M as in Mandy, G as in Guy again, 35-5, B as in boy, R is as in are you ready, U as in you, you can do it, and 6-Z as in zebra, D as in Danny, R as in R, X as in the only word I can think of,
xylophone.
7 is last one. So again, it's GMG35-5BRU6-ZDRX7. They say at the same time, we are also offering a 25% off nearly all digital games, including not only the biggest games of this year, such as Dishonored and Need for Speed Most Wanted, but the most potential blockbusters of next year, too, like SimCity and South Park The Stick of Truth. And they say, oh, yeah, that's better than a free hat. Yeah.
Okay.
These are some fighting words right there. I can't wait to see the sales that hit Steam now. Okay. Last one I just played, we downloaded it. I shot him in the head and then ran away.
I was going to say, is it Borderlands? No.
No. It was a shoot 'em up.
Team Fortress.
Team Fortress. Thank you.
All that he plays.
Team Fortress 2 with all your silly little hats.
I don't have that kind of commitment to a game. Okay. I just don't.
All right. I cheat on all my games with other games. I can't help it. I do.
All right, you people, APB Reloaded, this weekend, you might want to play.
Why?
Well, they have some tactical and paramilitary packs and bundles for you to get. Did I tell you I started playing as a cop?
Yeah, you did. I need to come play so I can, like, kill you.
No, I'm just going to bash you in the head with the butt of my gun. That's how I roll. Yes, I'm going to catch you slipping. You know I drive crazy, like, for real, in real life and in cars. So it's worse in the game when I don't have fear of cops and things. And if I am the cop in the game, woo, okay. So anyway, you can get your tactical and paramilitary packs, that's for both cops and criminals, at 40% off this weekend, or actually through November 21st. And they said this is your last chance to own these packs because they're going to pull them off the Aramis Marketplace. You've got four slots for your vehicles. You can carry things in. This will add four slots to your carrying on your vehicle. Now, if you are a premium member, you can use your discount to get an additional 20% off these discounted limited release items. That's around 60% savings for those of you who can't do the math. You can check it out on the Aramis Marketplace if you play APB Reloaded. I think that's about it. Yeah, go over there and get that. Anyway.
I wonder if I have enough Aramis points for that.
No.
I think they should, you know, kind of slip me some more. What? I was pimping all their stuff. It was awesome. Come on, I was hot.
Ginger.
I know.
They're going to cut us, Ginger.
But come on. I took pictures and I advertised and I talked
Did everybody wonder what you had?
Dude, the people that I played with were, like, totally buying points. So they could, like,
everybody wanted what you have?
Everybody wants what I have.
It took her a minute to catch on to that one.
Yeah, unfortunately.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Father darn it, leave me alone.
That don't work on me. You know that.
Apparently it doesn't work on everybody else either. All right, so Cinder Kitten fires up Hurricane Sandy donations and World of Warcraft. We talked about this last night.
Oh.
But I know not all of you listen at night, so I'm going to talk about it again.
Wait. I am sorry to interrupt you. Oh, finally we are vindicated.
Vindicated?
I have to interrupt you. This is late breaking, okay? Oh, my God. There is a class action lawsuit against Blizzard over the security of player info.
Hell yeah! Where do I get in on that? I need some money.
A pair of gamers filed a class action lawsuit against Blizzard Entertainment just last week, accusing World of Warcraft publisher Blizzard of failing to properly secure players' personal information and requiring them to purchase Battle.net authenticators in order to have even minimal protection over their sensitive personal, private, and financial data. We all know this to be true because some people believe the hype. Blaster, believe the hype. In fact, you have an authenticator. They can't get your information. Mm-mm.
Friend of mine, and he went bloop, he was gone, and then came back, and his tune just starts running off.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, not my friend. My friend's all over on Skype. Where's my tune? Dude, he just took off.
It's gone. That's right. The suit claims Blizzard negligently, deliberately, and or recklessly fails to properly safeguard player information, which has resulted in repeated security breaches. They did not respond to us when we asked them about this months ago. We went straight to the source. We got no response. The suit specifically brings up a May incident in which Blizzard acknowledged in an increase in account thefts. And the August hacking of Battle.net, in which email addresses and personal security questions were taken from players outside of China. It goes on to accuse Blizzard of fraud and unjust enrichment for requiring players to set up a Battle.net account, in the process having to give your personal information and financial data to play any of Blizzard's games, and then touting a Battle.net authenticator as the best way to ensure adequate security. The authenticator sells for $6.50 on Blizzard's website and generates codes that players must enter to log into an account from a new computer. A mobile authenticator is also available for smartphones, with the cost depending on Blizzard's distribution charges by platform. So on iOS, the authenticator is free, which is not fair. However, the suit claims the mobile authenticators were compromised in the August security breach, making the physical authenticator the only real option players had to protect their information. By pushing the authenticator as the utmost measure in securing Battle.net personal information, Blizzard has made the dongle a hidden cost of its games, the suit claims. Additionally, suing players believe Blizzard has made roughly $26 million through the sale of authenticators. The plaintiffs are asking for damages and that Blizzard be prevented from forcing players to create Battle.net accounts to play its non-MMORPG games. They also ask that Blizzard be prevented from tacking on additional undisclosed costs to ensure security in the form of post point-of-sale authenticator. And, of course, that story is from our friends at Games Industry International. They also asked them for comment, and they have not said anything. And this also comes to us via courthouse news. They're not – Blizzard –
We told you so. He argued. He was like, well, they're completely random codes. No, if you have a disconnected little thing in your hand, has no access to any sort of Wi-Fi, and it's spitting out a code, it only has so many codes in that.
Exactly.
If they match up with something online, means there is a list of codes that it's going down.
Not only that, but at some point you and someone else are going to have the same code at one point.
Exactly. I mean, I know it changes like every 8 seconds or something like that. But still, I mean, it's still coming from a pre-generated list.
Yeah, and that all it takes is for someone to have, and it's pre-generated? Oh, no, you're right, there's a set number of codes there. That's not cute.
Well, it has to be, because, I mean, if you have a little dongle keychain that's not connected to anything, and it's spitting out a code that matches something on the internet, then that tells me it's a pre-generated list. Unless these things are, you know, some kind of, like, mind readers.
I'm just like, wow. So I'm sorry, I had to interrupt Ginger's story for that one, because we have been saying for months, Blizzard.
We have been.
Blizzard.
Is there a link where I can sign up to be in this?
I don't think so. We'll probably have to do a search. But if it's a class action lawsuit, it'll probably include all of us anyway. You'll probably get a letter or email of some kind saying that you've been included in a class action lawsuit.
Send that back? We're all like, yes, I want my money. Where do I check?
Oh, my $2.35.
Hey, you know, that is a pair of shoes inside Second Life.
This is very true. You are so right. Or a pair of shoes, or you can turn it into real money. You can turn it into
Exactly. All right, so Blizzard's World of Warcraft website, like I was telling y'all, we were talking about last night, since we're already on the Blizzard thing, is making a new pet called the Cinder Kitten. It's a new in-game pet, and 100% of the proceeds are going to go to the Red Cross's Superstorm Sandy response relief efforts. The little fiery kitty is coming later this year. New pet's going to cost you about $10. All the proceeds are going to go to the Red Cross's effort in the Northeast in the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. The money will help to provide shelter, food, emotional support, and other assistance to survivors of Hurricane Sandy and other calamities that the Red Cross helps with. That's awesome. And again, I got to say calamities again. Yay. I like them. Okay, so if you want to donate, you can head over to redcross.org/donate. You know what? Just go to redcross.org because this is a really, 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 really long link, and I'm not going to give it to you.
Well, they're not the only ones doing this. I'm looking at Apple. They've also donated quite a bit of money. And, you know, Lady Gaga's crazy. She has donated, what does she do, $2
million?
I don't know. I think she did $1 million, $2 million. However, Apple decided to donate $2.5 million to the Hurricane Sandy Relief Fund. Under Cook, Apple has become more publicly charitable, according to VB. One of the first things Cook did as CEO, for example, was to start matching employee contributions to nonprofit organizations up to $10,000 per year. Now, a letter sent from Cook to Apple employees, which was obtained by our homie Slices over at 9 to 5 Mac, shows how Cook is different from Jobs when it comes to a devastating event like Sandy. And he says in the letter that for the past week, our thoughts have been with those affected by Hurricane Sandy and its aftermath. And he said, and Apple employees and customers the world over have raised millions of dollars for the relief effort so far. But we can always do more. The sum donated by Apple will join the millions donated by iTunes customers and various Apple employees. Again, as Ginger said, if you would like to help with that, you can go to Red Cross. It's redcross.org, is it, right, Ginger?
Yes. And I'm not coughing. Yeah. That is.
And, of course, and there's more to the letter that he put in. It says, of course, we're donating $2.5 million to the American Red Cross to benefit Hurricane Sandy relief, and we hope this contribution will help families, businesses, and communities recover and rebuild. Very nice, Cook. I'm getting more and more impressed with you. And
people who are dying your pet's hair, stop it. Stop it.
Who dyed their pet's hair?
Oh, you know, because I look on Facebook while we're doing this to see if I can find any stories to add. Somebody linked a picture of on Retro Star Wars of a pug that they have dyed all of his hair from the top of his head, well, like left the whole face black. They dyed the rest of his hair down to his tail white. The tail is black, and they called him a Wampa Pug.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so pretty much they just bleached his hair. That poor.
Okay, can I do another one just because I like this? This is not in our city, but I think I've always thought it was a brilliant idea, and nobody wants to do this. Okay, I don't know why. Okay, so some of you out there can't cook, and it's okay. You don't have to know how to cook. You just need to know how to make reservations, right?
As I was Skyping Corey last night, how long do I broil chicken?
Yes, she did, and I got there late. Ginger, I hope you did not burn your chicken, darling.
I did not burn my chicken.
Good girl. I've got to teach you how to make a baked chicken. That's the easiest thing in the world to make, and the guy folks love it. Or if you like girl folks and you two girls, two guys, there's nobody that doesn't like the baked chicken that I will tell you about. Actually, you don't need me. Go to Martha Stewart's site. She's the one I got it from, and it's so easy. All you got to do is I'll tell you all after the show. Yeah, okay.
It was easy. Spray it down, lemon pepper, put it in the oven, broil. Ta-da!
You didn't have to spray it. You see? I'm going to teach you the other way.
Okay.
I'm going to teach you. It's easy. You just put it in there, and you're done with it. It is seasoned and everything. Hot, right? Okay. Anyway, but
watch
those of you...
to make the lemon pepper stick better.
Trust me. Trust me, Ginger. I'm going to tell you. You're going to love it. Okay. For those of you who cannot cook like our Ginger, and you want some home-cooked food or something, maybe you want something just super expensive, something from this restaurant you've never tried before. I don't really know. There's a new company called Munchery who has managed, Munchery. And they will be delivering food to your house. They've secured the funding to do so. And I'm not talking about just McDonald's or pizza. You can get stuff like grilled hanger steak with horseradish and green onion mashed potatoes and gold beet salad from Chef Stephen Lee.
He's going to like, or the guys who want to lie to the girls, either way.
Yeah.
You know, you want to lie to your prospective other half.
Yes.
Chef, look at this.
Yes, yes. You know, and of course, the
hangers that came in the trash.
Now, get this, it's not expensive. They cost between $10 and $15 for a meal, which is what you'd pay if you went out anyway. Now, you get to place your meal, and I'm guessing it's via, you can either go to the website or app or call in. I like the fact that it's an app because, again, those of like, you know, like Ginger who can't cook, you can have the dinner ready when you get home. She's not even there.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, get on the app and order. So I thought this was a cool thing because this is what you're supposed to use technology for. This is when technology becomes awesome.
Yes, exactly.
I like it. Love it, love it, love it. Okay. And they're saying it's a new startup idea for them. But I don't understand why no other companies do this other than pizza. Why is it the only thing we can order to bring to your house is pizza?
I want some pizza now.
I'm fixing to have some shortly. Anyway.
I don't like you.
Hey, you crunched in my ear all week.
That's true.
Stuff I love.
Pizza.
But I love rice cakes.
So good, so good.
Ginger, stop sending me porn in Second Life, dude.
What? Didn't do it this time.
It were you. It were. Now you got to say it like that. It were. It were you. It were you. And
No. And if I'm sending you porn in Second Life, it's shoe porn.
This is true. She does like to send me shoe porn. She loves
Or hair porn.
Yep, she loves
it. All right, so Xbox Live's ridiculous Halo 4 promotion. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. They say, hey kids, you have absolutely nothing better to do this month than play Halo 4 for every day for hours on end. Oh, what do you know? No, I don't. If so, Xbox Live's Halo 4 Combat Tour offer might be right up your alley. This month, you can earn Microsoft points by playing Halo 4 in multiplayer mode. Play 35 or more hours and get 100 points. Play 70 or more hours and get 300 points.
Wait, they're giving Microsoft points?
Mm-hmm.
See, I've been begging for that. Now I might have to play Halo just to get Microsoft points.
All right. Or play 140 or more hours and get 600 points. All right, so they say, remember that this promotion ends November 30th, so if you're going to run for that 600 points, you're going to have to play about 6 hours every single day for the rest of the month.
That's hot.
Not a problem, dude. Right, that's not all. Microsoft is only giving away a total of 10 million Microsoft points.
Oh, so you got to get in where you fit in.
Yeah. Maybe you should start playing 8 hours a day, or 10. How hard would it suck to do nothing but play Halo? Hey! You're not stuck at all to play Halo 4 for the rest of the month.
Y'all gonna make the Ginger mad. Don't do that. Please, Mr. McGee, don't make her angry.
Not the fatigue and the blistered thumbs. But that's cool, because if you go back and read one of my articles, I reviewed these cool little thumb deals that went on my Microsoft thing.
Yes. Was it Encore that sent us those?
Yeah, I think so. They were awesome. I still have them. I love them.
I couldn't figure out what they were for. Like, maybe Ginger knows what these are supposed to do, because I got no clue. And the lady was like,
well, your Xbox controllers, your little, you know, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't, because I was looking.
The little sticks, the sticks on your Xbox controllers.
I could not figure it out, Ginger. Even when you're telling me, it's not registering to me, because they just look like some little buttons.
On the left and the right, you have the sticks that come out of the pad, mm-hmm. or come out of the controller, and, you know, you have your camera, and you also have your one that, I forget what the other one does. Yeah, so you've got your two little dongle stick pieces on there, whatever. I say dongle.
Dongle
sticks. Anyways, you've got your little sticks. And, yeah, these little pads just pop right over it, kind of like a cap. And they're soft, and they're kind of squishy, and they feel good on your fingers. And,
I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be quiet, because, yeah, I could go a whole bunch of ways with that. That's not good for the daytime show. Just going to say it.
I know.
Just not going to say it. Not going to get myself in trouble. Not going to get myself cut.
Get yourself cut.
I'd have to cut myself is what I'm saying.
See, that's no fun.
No, it is not. I concur, no. Madam. I concur. Okay, so there's some other, well, there's a lot of little stuff out. There is a demo out if you all are interested for a game called The Pit.
The Pit.
Sounds ominous. Actually, it's called Sword of Stars, The Pit. It's supposed to be a very lighthearted action RPG made in the tradition of Rogue and other old-school dungeon-diving games. It's supposed to be set in the world of Sword and Stars, the Sword and Stars universe, or rather. The game is supposed to deliver some sharp retro graphics and modern turn-based gameplay. Now, although the art style is light and the game is readily accessible to all, the role-playing mechanics under the hood are crunchy.
That's awesome.
The alpha demo that you're going to be playing includes the engineer, one of the game's three playable characters, a brief tutorial, and five playable levels for you to explore. It also includes a good cross-section of monsters, traps, and items. The full game will release with 30 playable levels. The alpha demo also... Okay, why am I having that? Is that you, Ginger?
Sorry, I didn't know you had that one. Yeah.
You know what? Live show.
Guys, I'm picking on Corey in the background.
Live show, people. I'm not even looking at you. I'm looking at my shoes, so I don't see you putting a ring on it. Bad Ginger.
She's totally doing a little dance.
I didn't even see, because I'm looking at a story, Ginger May.
Sorry.
She's bad. Y'all see what I deal with at night? Her Snow and Blaster is like, oh, my God. Okay.
I had to, you know.
Bad. Okay, so anyway, you get to play. They're currently trying to run a crowdfunding campaign for The Pit on Indiegogo. Yeah, not on Kickstarter. Kickstarter's losing some people, namely us. The campaign has garnered considerable support from players of the company's Sword and Star series strategy games, which will end on November 14th. So if you want to give them some help, you can go over to sots-thepit.com/demo and start yourself to playing. No worries. We'll put up a link on newdocumentatrix.com. You may not be able to find it because, you know, we're revamping yet again. I didn't like that Windows thing.
Stick around.
I didn't like that Windows thing. I don't like it.
Biscuits?
Like biscuits?
Biscuits and tea.
You say biscuits?
Yes, so good.
Biscuits.
All right, so for those of you who are worried about your little noodly thing going a little bit soft, Mensa is here to help. Mensa Academy now available for iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. Apparently, you know, not for us Android people, but we don't have the whole issue with, you know, our noodly going soft. All right, so created in collaboration with Mensa, the renowned Global High IQ Society, Mensa Academy is chock full of fun and stimulating mini games and challenges. Brain-stimulating questions span topics including numeracy, language, logic, memory, and visual categories. And players can jump straight into play mode or hone their abilities in coach mode before taking on the test to discover their Mensa Academy score. Players can share their Mensa Academy score certificate via a variety of social networking channels, email, and SMS. Ian Livingston, the vice president of Eidos, says, with Mensa Academy on iOS, people of all ages can take on a range of fun tests and challenges that really get your brain cells going. It's charming visuals and easy-to-touch screen controls really makes it a brilliant way to test your brain power. And, of course, find out who has got the biggest brain between you and your friends. Awesome. So, if you want to check that out, again, that's over on the iPad, the iPhone, and the iPod Touch. It's a Mensa Academy. And it's available now, but no, they... Oh, wait. I do have a price. I was going to say they didn't give me a price, but they snuck it in on, like, the very, very bottom line. All right, so, the price is, are you ready for this? $2.99 Linden Franks pounds, whatever the little L sign is. So, I really think that's, like, euros.
I'm gonna be quiet.
Euro. Well, you know, help. Euro sign.
So, I'm wondering.
Oh no! It was pounds. It was pounds. All right.
When is CCCP gonna give us our Vampire the Masquerade MMO?
I don't know. They've been talking about it forever, but then I haven't heard anything. What, like 2 months? I would have thought you heard something around Halloween about it, at least.
I was thinking, man, this is the perfect time to release a trailer.
Nothing at all.
I'm going to need them to step it up. I'm actually over trying to see if I can find something about what's going on. Hello, CCCP. Can we get some information about our game?
They be hiding.
Don't be hiding.
It's okay. You can come out.
You know what? It's funny. There it is. I was going to say they don't have anything. It's just all they have up on the site. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because somebody just messaged me and asked, have you heard anything about World of Darkness? No. They're making it. It's being done in Georgia. We'll probably may be able to coax snow to go over there since it has to do with vampires. And the only thing else I see is that they're...
I would not be like that after the month.
Bad ginger. They're hiring? Yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Whoever asked me for it, that's what I can tell you. They're hiring at CCCP in Atlanta, Georgia. They're still working on the game, and they have given us nothing else. I'm sorry.
Interesting. There's an interesting new Kickstarter going on.
Uh-oh.
LA Game Space Kickstarter imagines communal space for indie developers. Interesting. All right, so a Kickstarter for space in Los Angeles where independent developers can get together is being pitched today as the LA Game Space. this voice thing. The idea of the project, should it get to $250,000 and funding organizers are asking for, is to transform an old warehouse in the Arts District of Los Angeles and turn it into a hotspot for game design and independent titles. They plan on hosting workshops, exhibitions, research labs, public events with guest speakers, and space where indie game makers can set up shop. Think of it as a sort of indie game commune, if you will. The people behind this idea include Daniel Rain and Tract Mode's Anam Robozoli, along with the advisory board that includes Giant Robot's Eric Nakumaram, Venus Patrol's Brandon Boyer, and TIG Source's Derek Yu. All right, so far the project has raised $8,671 of its $250,000 goal from 178 backers with 29 more days to go. Interesting. There is a video up on GamePolitics.com about it if you want to check it out. I don't know what I think about that. I'd be afraid people would be like trying to steal ideas from each other. But at the same time, working with all those brilliant minds could be really, really, really neat. Corey's either muted or she is...
I'm just talking. I was talking, I was like, why is Ginger ignoring me? Why?
I know, don't you hate it when that happens?
Yes, I was like, why is she ignoring me? I think they have them sign a non-disclosure agreement. I don't know. Let's hope.
But you know, if somebody would release a game and somebody else, you know, three cubicles down would be like, oh, I was working on that! That was my idea!
I got to tell you, the couple of games I've worked on, if I see, like, there's one that we made, I'm not going to tell you about because, you know, we did all sign papers, but if I ever see that game made, somebody is going to have hell to pay. I'm telling you, they're going to have hell to pay. All right, Borderlands 2, for you people that have Macs, you get it this month. Yay! This is from Aspyr Media, who's been around forever. They said they specialize in Mac conversions. This is what they do. They previously brought titles such as Call of Duty, Black Ops, Rage, and Civ 5 to the platform. Ted Stalluck over there at Aspyr Media said that they pride themselves on bringing the best in gaming to the Mac audience. Borderlands 2 is definitely among the best. Most sequels have a hard time living up to the hype, but Borderlands 2 manages to improve on every cool aspect of Borderlands and still finds a way to wrap the player up in a new story with a new experience. For those of you who have Macs, here's what you need to have. Operating system 10.7.5, that's Lion, or 10.8.2, Mountain Lion. Roar at 'em, Ginger, roar.
Roar! Roar!
That was almost a real roar for you. So cute. So cute. There's a CPU processor. It's Intel Core 2 Duo, dual core. Got to have that. Got to have 2.2 gigahertz CPU speed, 4 gigabytes of RAM, at least 13 gigabytes of hard drive space. Your video card must be ATI Radeon HD 2600 or NVIDIA GeForce 8800. Video memory of 256 megabytes. Peripherals includes, of course, your Macintosh mouse and keyboard. So if you got those, you are ready to play. Yeah, you got those, you are ready
to play.
You're ready to play. You know what Apple should do? Since Windows is imitating them so much, they should turn around and imitate Windows and start making the Macs where you can take them apart and put your own things in.
Just... Oh, my God. That'd be so hot.
Yeah, tell them, take that Windows.
Exactly. Exactly.
If they do that, I'm becoming a Mac girl. So I can take it apart. I'm all in.
What is that? Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery?
Yes, and they're being so flattered right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ragnarok Online classes get extended. It's about time to talk about Ninja, Taekwon Kid, Gunslinger, and Soul Linker classes. Gravity Interactive. Today has emerged... You know, they always give us like three lines of who they are and what they've made, and I don't care. Today has emerged... To Ragnarok Online, talk the spotlight for latest classes reveal on Classic Server. Okay, these people do not speak English. I'm reading this. Forgive me. All right, so these extended class characters bring unique mechanics to the world of Rune Midgard with unique class roles, weapons, and skills. And now players can play with their latest classes. To become one of these classes, players must be a novice with a job level of 10 and complete one of the job change quests. Until the release of Transcendent class characters, these expanded class characters are limited to job levels of 50. Alright, so what do we got? We've got Gunslinger, Armed and Dangerous, a versatile ranged class. This gun-toting class can equip and build skills depending on how you want to play. Ninja, silent but deadly. Ew. Able to attack by melee or with ranged or even magic attacks this class can use. It's unpredictable. Alright, so Taekwon Kid. In it for the kicks. Novices that can attain job level 10 can job change to Taekwon Boys and Girls. This is a fun and fast class to play, designed to get up close and personal with your enemy. Sweep the leg and bow to your sensei. Soul Linkers, spiritual successors. To become a Soul Linker, players must take a Taekwon Kid at job level 40 or above. This class... Hold on.
Ginger is choking. Stop it, Ginger. Ginger?
Okay, I can breathe. I couldn't breathe there for a second. Literally just couldn't breathe. Okay, so... To become a Soul Linker, players must be a Taekwon Kid at job level 40 or above. This class is the second job level for Taekwon Kid characters at job level 40. Okay, so, again, this is Ragnarok Online, and you can check it out over at playragnarok.com.
Okay, which one of the consoles has Game Center?
Huh? PlayStation Store, it's the Microsoft Store on Xbox now, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Wii is the Wii something.
Okay, because I was going to tell you about this game, but they don't tell us what console it's for, even on their website. Oh, I'm sorry, it's for iOS.
So the App Store.
I knew I recognized Game Center. Where is Game Center? Okay, yeah, it's Apple. Yeah. Okay, so there's basically a game called The Real Boxing Game. It'll be launched next Thursday on the 15th. It's now, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, so it's supposed to have 3D graphics, real boxing features, additional multiplayer mode in real time. Moreover, gamers can control their fighter through traditional touchscreen controls or using camera controls. So you set it up, and then you stand up when you actually box. You can check that out at realboxinggame.com. This does not interest me at all. I'm so sorry. And your game looks amazing. But I'm not interested in playing. At least not today.
Nope. All right, people. Open up those wallets again. Humble Bundle for Android 4 is live. They say it's that time again. Yes, the new Humble Bundle is here, making indie games available in the pay-what-you-want way we all know and love. The Humble Bundle for Android 4 features 6 games, Splice, Euphoria, Waking Mars, Crayon Physics Deluxe, Super Duffer Brothers' Sword and Sorcery EP. Yes, I did say that right. Sorcery. And Missionarium.
Missionarium. Yes. Interesting.
Missionarium. The first five of first five are yours for whatever price you feel like paying. But if you want Missionarium, you're going to have to pony up more than the average price, which is, as of this writing, $5.90. However much you play, you can split that sum between the game's developers, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Child's Play charity, or Humble Bundle itself, as you see fit. All six games come with official soundtracks and are DM-free. Also, are available in Windows, Mac, and Linux flavors for those of you who don't dig the Android scene. The promotion will run for another 2 weeks. They say so far, over 44,000 bundles have been sold, netting around $260,000. Awesome, awesome.
That'd be a lot.
That do be a lot. Man, you know these people are banking on these sales because they have them, every 2 weeks?
Yeah. Here's some more news on GTA 5. It's very little, but for those of you who love you some GTA will be quite pleased, but I'm pleased and not pleased. The new GTA has revealed via Game Informer that, and on its official site, there's an image on the front cover of the GTA 5 box with three men. So they're saying you may have three protagonists. The teaser that Game Informer will be putting up, three protagonists, the teaser noted that this is a reimagined version of Los Santos, the GTA series version of Los Angeles, and is Rockstar's biggest open world to date. And that's all they have told us, so we kind of have to wait till later today till they let the cat fully out of the bag. I really wish one of these three protagonists was a woman, Rockstar.
Exactly. Secular.
Come on. I want to play as a woman. I want to be in GTA and rolling people over. Why?
Because apparently they don't know how to draw boobs properly.
Well, no, they do. I think it just hasn't occurred to them to do a woman. And maybe we'll get the next GTA 6.
This kind of thing?
Huh?
We want to run people over. We want to rob people. We want to shoot people.
Well, they made a very good one of the characters in GTA 4 is one of my favorite characters, Elizabeth. I think his name is Elizabeth. Anybody remember? Was it Elizabetha?
Uh-huh.
Elizabetha was a drug boss, and she was very ruthless. I'm going to give this part of the story away because it's one of those times where it may or may not happen in your game, but there's a guy that will annoy the hell out of you, and she just takes care of it. There is no hesitation. She's like, he's annoying me. Blam! And she shoots him in the head, and it's over. And I was sitting there like, I didn't think I wanted him dead, but it's too late now. I didn't think I wanted him dead. So, you know, I'm hoping that at least if you're not going to make them one of the main characters, maybe we get one of your lovely DLCs that you'd like to give us, Rockstar, and toss us a girl in there.
Hell yeah, let us play as a girl. We will show you how girls tear it up.
Yep.
Tear it up. Oh my god, amazing.
What is this conversation you all are having on Twitter?
I was talking about that. I thought I was dying there for a second. Literally, I coughed and my throat just felt like it exploded, like I had sharp pain in it. I was like, oh, my God, I can't talk. I was trying to force myself, and I couldn't finish.
Yeah, that's this lovely Texas weather we're having. It cannot decide what it wants.
I know. It was, cold yesterday. Today it's hot, so I've had to turn on my AC.
Yep, fun. Fun for us. Fun for us here in Texas.
My head feels like it's going to explode, and I just keep taking allergy medication. It's just not helping. Oh, wait, we got a minute left. Are we just going to do some music?
Oh, no, we got three. We got 3 minutes left. We're going to get out of here. I got people to assassinate and things later. So, and I am not falling for this, you all, with the let's all get together and play because we love each other so much. And I'm sitting there by myself trying to load up the Left 4 Dead. I did not trust y'all. No more.
What? You know, we can play the regular Left 4 Dead.
I'm going to say this again. Do not trust y'all. No more.
I will call the quarry if I put the Left 4 Dead in. If I'm not lost to Warhammer, because
I will be assassinating people so you all can have the zombies. I have English soldiers that are in my city.
God, that's right.
The British are coming. I got to handle this.
She's going to handle each and every one of them.
Hey!
What?
And I'm about to play your song for you.
Oh, okay. Play my song for me. I That'd be good. I love scoring.